Okay, dear Dhamma friends, we are going to start the Sutta teaching session. So we'll start with paying homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. So in this Sutta teaching session, we are actually trying to discuss various suttas, mostly how to get some advice from Buddha's teaching so that we can practice our own path properly, so that we are not going in astray, we are not going in wrong path. Rather, we are trying to get the correct path, trying to recognize the correct path, and accordingly we can practice well. So far we have discussed several suttas, and now we are discussing Satipatthana Sutta. So Satipatthana Sutta is well recognized as one of the most important suttas, especially for meditation. So with recent interest on mindfulness, so Satipatthana Sutta has become very important and very popular. And now we are trying to go through Satipatthana Sutta one by one, part by part. Basically, Buddha has preached this sutta while he was in one of the country called Kuru. So there's a village called Kammasadamma in that country, and while he was there, he was teaching this to the monks. And before he is explaining this, he's giving a sort of a very interesting list of benefits he has mentioned. Ekayano ayam bhikkave maggo sattanam visuddhiya. Monks, there is a direct path for the purification of beings. Soka pariddhavanam samatikkamaya. In order to cut through sorrow and lamentation. Dukkha dubanassanam attagamaya. In order to overcome various sorrows and despair and various other suffering. Nyayassa adigamaya. In order to recognize the proper path. In order to recognize the Noble Eightfold Path, in other sense. Nibbanasa sachikiriyaya, in order to realize the Nibbana. Yadidan chattaro satipatthana. So this is the direct path, and that is the four foundations of mindfulness. Now, in this phrase, actually, there are very important aspects Buddha has mentioned. So the purification of beings is something that we have to pay little attention, because there were various methods in old India how to purify a being. So they, as Brahmins, they have used many different methods, like having a bath in Ganges river, and maybe putting some fires around the around oneself, and being in the middle, and trying to eliminate various defilements. So likewise, various wrong methods were used in order to purify oneself. So in this context, Buddha is telling there is a direct path to purify one's mind. So it is the purification of the mind which is more important, and by being purified through the mind, that a person, a being, may become a purified person, a noble person. So in order to do that, Buddha is now recommending four foundations of mindfulness. And according to this phrase, if we are practicing it well, so we too should be able to recognize these benefits little by little. It may not be evident in the beginning, and but with continuous practice, we should be able to recognize at least some amount of these benefits. Whether our mind is being purified, are we getting less and less defiled? How about the lustful thoughts arising in the mind? How about the hatred arising in the mind? How about the delusion arising in the mind? Are they going to be reduced? Are they really reducing because of this practice? How about sorrow and lamentation? Are they sort of reducing? Am I become peaceful? Is my become fairly happy? So this kind of benefits actually we can verify by recognizing our own mind, by reflecting about our own mind, so that we too can sure that we are doing the correct thing. And the last one is Nyayasa Adhigamaya and Nibbanasa Sacchikiriyaya. Are we still in a position to recognize the proper path, or are we still wavering about various paths? Are we sure about the path or not yet? And have we realized Nibbana? So these are the benefits actually we can verify. They are not here to merely believe, rather we should be able to verify them. By applying the same to our own mind, we should be able to verify. And so Buddha starts with Kayanupassana, Hida Bhikkave Bhikkhu Kaye Kayanupassi Vihirati. So in this dispensation of the Buddha, a monk, a practitioner, is now paying attention to his mind, sorry, to his body, and he is now trying to recognize the body. He is now trying to contemplate the body. Kaye Kayanupassi. So there is a very interesting point here. So this is a direct experience, and it is not that one is analyzing the body using a used through a book or asking from someone or watching a sort of anatomy documentary or something like that. Rather, one has to pay attention to one's own body. So this is quite important, and one needs to have that direct touch, directly experiencing one's body in order to recognize its behavior. And anupassi means that you have to do it again and again. It is not just once that you do it, again and again you have to pay attention to the body, and there are various processes and aspects Buddha is now going to mention how to do it, and you have to do it again and again. And while doing that, there is a sort of a state of mind that one needs to maintain. It has to have a quality called atapi. One has to have ardent effort, because at the beginning the practice may be a little difficult, and again the results may not be evident, results may not come on your way quickly, so that one has to have good effort. And then sampajano, one not only being mindful, that is satima, one has to be mindful, one has to leave aside the past and the future and has to concentrate in the present moment. And not only that, once you establish mindfulness in the present moment, you should be investigating the present phenomena. So whatever is subjected to our attention has to be well investigated, well examined. So that is the other quality. And vinayya loke abhijja domanasam, while you are dealing with this task, you should keep, or you should maintain your mind in a equanimous mood, rather than putting it into the two extremes, either being greedy or lustful, or either being hateful. So one has to maintain an equanimous mind. So if one is able to maintain such a equanimous mind, sort of a middle mind, and again maintaining mindfulness, and again clearly knowing, as well as have enough effort to continue the practice. So while doing, maintaining such qualities, one is now observing one's own body again and again. So how to observe one's body? There are many methods mentioned under Kayanupassana section. As you can see in the diagram, so basically there are 14 methods coming under the Kayanupassana. 14 techniques, we can say, available in Kayanupassana. Among them, actually 9 are related to channel ground meditation, where one is looking at corpse and comparing a corpse with one's own body. And the first one actually is related to anapanasati, mindfulness on breathing. The second one is on mindfulness on postures. And then the third one is sampajanyapabba, that is being mindful on various daily activities. Now in this context, one has to recognize the present moment phenomena. So one has to leave aside past, not thinking about the past and not giving any sort of importance to any memories, and again not daydreaming, not fantasizing, not thinking about the future, not planning about the future, rather coming back to the present moment again and again. So this is quite important, because in order to recognize the present moment phenomenon, our attention has to be readily available in the present moment. Now, in order to do that, there are many methods available, starting with Anapanasati, where one is using breathing, because breathing happens in the present moment. It's a bodily process, involuntary process, and you are trying to keep your attention on that bodily process. Now, if you are able to do that properly, then your mindfulness is established in the present moment. And suppose there are series of breaths available and you are keeping your attention there, one after the other. And once you are establishing mindfulness to each and every breath, in-breath and out-breath, now one has to clearly know it, clearly recognize its characteristics. Now, if we come to the third one, so we already discussed Anapanasati and the Iriyapata. Now, today we can discuss how to apply to daily activities and to the whole life in a way. Now, if we are taking our attention to bodily activities, so there Buddha starts with Abhikkhante Patikkhante Sampajanakari Hoti, where when one is going forward, one being mindful. When coming back, one is mindful. Now, typically we may walk here and there again and again during a day, but we are not paying attention to that walking posture. Rather, we may be thinking, we may be planning while walking. So mind is not well synchronized with the bodily activity. But here, what is expected is to properly synchronize the mental process and the bodily process, the physical process. Now, this is actually a repetition of Iriyapatapabba to some extent, because in Iriyapatapabba, where the main postures are introduced, walking, sitting, standing and lying down, and again, there's a statement called Yatha yathava panasya kayo panihito hoti tata tathanam pajanati. That includes all the sub postures as well. Now, we can say the Sampajanya Pabba is in a way a more enhanced version of Iriyapata Pabba, where one is trying to incorporate mindfulness to various daily activities. Now, it is not possible for us to invest time continuously for a sitting session or a walking meditation session, but rather now we should be able to incorporate mindfulness to various daily activities which we are already continuing in our life. Now, this is how we have to be skillful, how to introduce mindfulness to daily activities. Then we can't say that we don't have time, I am really busy, and these excuses are not valid, because we are involving with various activities, and we should be skillful to incorporate or introduce mindfulness to those daily activities. It is not that we are completely neglecting those activities and only giving prominence to meditation. Rather, we are now trying to incorporate mindfulness to our ordinary daily activities. Now, going forward is a very ordinary daily activity that we may do many, many times. And are we able to introduce mindfulness to that? While walking, can we establish mindfulness? And while coming back, can we establish mindfulness? So this is, in a way, again and again bringing our attention to the body, without allowing the mind to daydream or going for various planning. Are we sort of able to bring our attention to the present activity? And then Buddha say, Alokite vilokite sampajanakari hoti. When one looks forward, when one is seeing something in the front, one has to be mindful. And when one looks around, one has to be mindful. Then, samminjite pasarite sampajanakari hoti. That means, when one is bending one's limbs, maybe hands, maybe legs, when one is bending, so one has to be mindful. And again, when one is stretching, again has to be mindful. So you can see how carefully Buddha is taking our attention to very subtle activities of the body. Typically, we ignore these activities. These activities are happening in a sort of autopilot mode. So we are never giving attention to these activities. Rather, we think that various other important activities are there. We have to pay attention to those activities. And this kind of walking, sitting, standing, lying down, stretching limbs, bending limbs, and such activities we never consider as important. Now, we have to do in a way sort of opposite. It is not that we are neglecting other activities, rather we are slowly trying to bring our attention to typical, very ordinary bodily activities. And as a result, we may actually be able to do various other what we thought the important activities also mindfully. Say for example, you have to write a letter. So we assume that you consider that is quite important than paying attention to stretching limbs, say bending limbs, or walking front, walking side. So likewise, so those are very ordinary, so you simply neglected them. You consider writing a letter is important, so you may pay more attention to that. Actually, by paying attention to ordinary activities, be mindful about those, actually bring enough attention to that important activity, in this case, the writing of a letter. So it is a sort of a win-win situation where, first of all, you are trying to recognize some ordinary activities and introduce mindfulness there. As a result, that developed mindfulness is even useful into other, what we can say as serious activities. So those serious important activities also we can do in a mindful way. And then Buddha say, Sanghati patta chivara dharane pampajanakari hoti. So this is related to a monk, where a monk has a double robe and single robe. So while he is wearing robe, adorning robe, so one has to be mindful. And when he is carrying the ball, he is mindful. Now, when coming to the lay context, say while you are wearing clothes, so you can be mindful. So typically we don't consider that as a sort of an important task or something that we can pay attention. Rather, now it is requested to pay attention to that ordinary activity as well. Asite, pite, khaite, saite, sampajanakari hoti. So when you are having your meals, when you are drinking something, when you are say using the mouth, suppose you are breaking a piece of say food, and then when you are tasting something, again one has to be mindful. So these are sort of different aspects of eating and drinking. So there are many such activities also one has to do mindfully. Ucchara passava kamme sampajanakari hoti. Say when one is defecating, urinating, that too has to be done in a mindful manner. Gate, tite, nisinne, sutte, jagarate, bhasite, tunhi, bhave, sampajanakari hoti. So when one is walking, when standing, when sitting, and when lying down and sleeping, and when one is not sleeping, when one is talking in a conversation, and when one is silent, that too has to be mindful. Now you can see Buddha hasn't exempted any activity. Rather, he is sort of giving us a list of activities so that we can understand every activity we can do mindfully. Now, on the other hand, we have to keep in mind about the context where to all these activities, to all these anupassana, Buddha says, Atapi sampajano satima. That is, and vinaya loke abhijja domanasa. Atapi in the sense that one has to maintain a fair amount of effort. Now, repeatedly, we may forget to be mindful. That is one problem we all may have at the beginning, where even though we may understand being mindful is important, we continuously forget it. So there are various ways and means we need to incorporate in order to remind the mind, remind ourselves to be mindful. Actually, I can remember when I was practicing in my early stages, where I continuously forget to be mindful. So what I did was I pasted a little label on the door, "Be mindful." And on my table, there's a little label, "Be mindful." And I had a watch, which I sometimes, mostly look at in order to read the time. And there also I have pasted the label, "Be mindful." So likewise, there are these kind of little say methods or strategies we can use to remind ourselves to be mindful. Otherwise, we, even though we know it is important, we continuously forget it. Our mind continuously go to the past and enjoy whatever the things happened in the past, or may shift it to the future and enjoy whatever the plans. So it's a kind of a habit. But now we have to sort of escape from that habit, and in order to do that, we can use various ways and means, and in order to remind the mind, so that again and again we establish mindfulness. Again and again we are earthing ourselves. Now, you can recognize here also there are many various activities are listed, and if we are able to maintain continuous mindfulness, then you will recognize there are so many activities from the waking up moment to the sleeping moment that we are engaged with. One activity after the other activity. One activity after the other activity. Say, for example, you are waking up. Now you are lifting yourself from the bed. So that activity has finished. Now you are standing. So that activity has finished. Now the previous activity has completed, and the new activity, standing activity, has started. And now you walking to the, say, bathroom, restroom, and there are, suppose now the standing activity finished and the walking activity started, and now you are going to the restroom. Suppose you are washing your face, and you are while walking, that standing activity finished and walking activity has begun, and while you are being in the restroom or the washroom, say your walking activity has finished, now you are washing yourself. Suppose you are brushing your teeth, so the brushing of teeth activity has begun, and after a while it also has finished. Now you are washing your face, so the washing face activity has begun. So likewise, you can recognize it's a series of activities starting and ending, series of activities starting and ending. Now, this is one way we can recognize to some extent that all these activities has a beginning and end. Now, if you further scrutinize this process, then you are able to clearly know that each activity also has sub-activities. Say, for example, eating. There you can understand, okay, eating has many small activities. Say you are preparing yourself, you are being served by various, say, vegetables, curries, rice, and whatever it is. And then suppose you are mixing it, and you can feel various texture of maybe vegetables or curries or rice, and those are also different. And again you are mixing, and then you are making a lump, and then you are bringing it to the mouth. And then you are chewing, and you may taste it, and again you are swallowing, and again you are putting your hand to the plate, again you are taking little by little, and again you are mixing. So likewise, if you closely analyze, there are many small activities are involved with so-called eating activity. Similarly, walking. So walking is quite easy to recognize, because walking is separately taken as walking meditation, where At the first instance, we can say only walking. But walking has many small activities included or involved, where, say, you stand at the end, and then say you are watching in the front, you are keeping your hands bound, and now you are lifting left leg and moving it and placing it. Then again, you are lifting the right leg, moving it, placing it. And your weight being transferred from one leg to the other leg. And if you further closely observe, you can recognize there are so many minor activities, like during even a single lifting, there are a series of liftings. While moving, there's a series of movings. While placing, there's a series of moving, placing. And while the sole is on the ground, again you can feel many characteristics like hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, coolness. Likewise, there are very small characteristics or refined characteristics, subtle characteristics are also available. Now, more and more we pay close attention as our clear comprehension, sampajanya, improves, we can recognize all these minor activities. And each minor activity also has a beginning and an end. A beginning and an end. So, therefore, in this section also, Buddha emphasized that one has to be samudaya dhammanupassīva kāyasmin viharati. Vaya dhammanupassīva kāyasmin viharati. One is recognizing the beginning of this activity and then the ending of the activity. At the beginning, actually, we have all these labels. Say you are eating, drinking, walking, standing, lying down, say brushing the teeth. So likewise, you know in the macro level that you know that there's a activity going on, and you know the name, you know the label. But later, as you drill down further to the detail of it, so you may lose that context, you may lose that labels given, and you are fairly closely paying attention to the minor aspects, minor characteristics. There you lose the concepts. There you lose the typical conventional aspects, and you are more and more paying attention to the very refined characteristics. That is where the element characteristics are possible. There you can understand, even though we start with postures, or even though we start with daily activities in a more ordinary, mundane, or conventional manner, as we further refine our attention, so we can actually go to the very root level. We can go to the very primary level, fundamental level, where our mind become extremely subtle, very refined, and well concentrated. And all the conceptual information or signs marks are lost, but mind is fairly concentrated on a very refined characteristic. That is, maybe we can say as element characteristics. So you may have now ended up in say Dhatu Manasikara. You have started with typical postures, or you may have started with daily activities, but as you refine your mindfulness, you can now even drill down to the level of elements. So likewise, these satipatthana techniques are fairly interrelated. So one can start with very ordinary activity, and you can go to the very refined activity, very refined characteristics. And all levels, anyway, you can recognize there's a beginning and there's an end. Samudaya dhammanupassīva kāyasmin viharati, vaya dhammanupassīva kāyasmin viharati. Samudaya vaya dhammanupassīva kāyasmin viharati. And more you look at these processes available within yourself, and you can apply the same knowledge to external people as well. There also you can understand the same thing is available, it is not different. Even though you call as I am walking, I am standing, I am having my meals, rather, when you keep aside that I part, nothing but a series of activities, series of element characteristics. Same is available outside as well. When another person is involving in those activities, same thing happens. He do start one activity and then finish it. Then another activity starts and another that activity also finish. So likewise, he too engage with so many activities, each one has a beginning and an end. Now, if one is doing this more and more, then Buddha says there are various insights possible. Actually, now we have just finished the meditation part where Satipatthana Bhavana. First of all, you need to establish mindfulness on daily activities. And once that is successful, you need to go deeper and recognize details and to recognize the behavior of each activity. There you are trying to engage with Satipatthana meditation, mindfulness meditation, where you are trying to develop mindfulness by recognizing various paces or various behaviors of each activity. And while you are doing that, it is important to keep the mind very quiet. It is not that you are sort of thinking about any of these, rather you are being aware of all these activities. So at the beginning, you may actually use the mind in order to remember yourself or to remind yourself that you are doing a particular activity. Say for example, while eating, if your mind is constantly distracted, you can incorporate labeling, you can incorporate noting. Say for example, you are mixing, you are taking several vegetables and you are having rice and curries and you are now mixing. So while the body is involving in that activity, mentally you can verbalize it, telling mixing, mixing. And when you are bring that lump of food to the mouth, say you can verbalize it as say taking, taking, or lifting, lifting. And when you are putting it to the mouth, you can now sort of verbalize it, note it as eating, eating, or maybe tasting, tasting, chewing, chewing, swallowing, swallowing. So likewise, if necessary, you can note it. Everywhere, each activity you can note. But later, once you are successful, when you understand now mind is fairly tamed, mind is not distracted to the past or future, then actually you better stop that noting, rather maintain a quiet mind, silent mind. But very vigilant, observing each and every minor activity, minor aspect of each process with a very quiet, silent mind. So then only you have a fair chance of arising insights. So when you do this process while being mindful, there are various insights are possible, and Buddha says atthi kayoti va panassa sati pacchupattita hoti. So previously you thought that I am eating, I am drinking, I am walking, I am driving, so likewise there is a individuality. But later, as your understanding refines, as your understanding grows, so this typical personality view may reduce, individual view may reduce, and you may understand it's nothing but a body engaged with so many activities, so many little changes. Attikayotiva panasa sati pachupattita hoti. So now the mindfulness is established very well on the body, and now less distractions. Even if the mind shift to past or future, it does not engage in so much of proliferation, rather it returns back quickly. So mind now likes to be within the body. So this is a very important shift happens in our meditation life, because in the beginning it's a utter like a disaster where we can never take our attention to the body. So it is not interesting. It appears like utterly boring. But when you are training again and again, without giving up, again and again you are training the mind, so there is a time that mind likes to stay within the body. Mind does not go out, rather it likes to stay within the body. So there you have a lot of comfort, because now less task for you to do, because mind is fairly tamed, fairly restrained, and now mind itself is staying within the body. Now it's a matter of refining your attention and paying close attention and trying to improve clear comprehension, sampajanya, and it is a sort of a improved thing. Or it's a now the mindfulness has well improved. Now it's a matter of improving, further improving clear comprehension. Now, on that context, more and more characteristics are available, characteristics are visible, and you are closely observing all these. And then Buddha says, Yavadeva jnana mattaya patissati mattaya. Now you are further improving mindfulness, and your goal is to maintain a continuous mindfulness as much as possible. And using which you are now trying to sort of develop wisdom. Now this wisdom actually time to time arise as insights. It is not that you can arouse insights, but rather you are preparing the ground or you are maintaining a conducive environment so that various insights are arising. As I said, you are doing the close observation, maintaining a very silent mind, equanimous mind, quiet mind, and not giving to lust or hatred, and you are clearly knowing. So these are the sort of requirement, prerequisites necessary to arise an insight. So in that context, there's a possibility that various insights are possible. When you are seeing that how quickly these phenomena are arising and passing away, that's an insight possible. So again and again, when you are seeing it, there's a deeper understanding is developing within yourself, very much like, say, how impermanent all this, how transient all these processes, how transient this body is. It is not a fixed thing. It is not a one thing, but it's a consisting of so many processes, so many activities. It's like a huge factory. So many little activities are involved with, and one after the other, rising and passing away. One after the other, starting and ending. Now, if one is continuously doing this, then one's mind may fairly disenchanted with this whole body. So if there was a big attachment to the body, if there was sort of a conceit related to the body, thinking that I am beautiful, I am powerful, and etc. So that wrong ideas, those illusions will be removed, and you are now fairly grounded, and you may understand this whole thing is utterly transient, extremely vulnerable, extremely impermanent. As a result, sort of a disenchantment may arise in the mind. So you now observe the body in a more neutral way, and there's a sort of a disengagement will happen from the body and the mind. Now previously during that close examination, your mind is closely observing the body, closely investigating the body, little activities. But as your disenchantment grows, then there's a dispassion also growing. As a result, you are now able to look at the body as a third person, as an outsider. So various bodily processes are happening, but you are disengaged from those bodily processes and able to look at them in a more dispassionate manner. So it's like someone else is walking, you are watching. Someone else is eating, you are watching. Someone else is breathing, you are watching. Something like that. So the same thing going on, it is your body involved with various activities, but you have the ability to look at it as an outsider. Now this further improves, and in one point, if the mind is completely given up, then the mind become completely independent. Anisthitocha viharati. So mind can become completely independent from this whole process. Now mind has completely given up, and mind has become empty of any activity, of any object. So it has nothing to attach with. It has completely given up everything, because it understood that nothing is worthy of attaching. Nothing is worthy of clinging, grasping. So it has completely given up. So it can happen instantaneously, and the yogi may not recognize it immediately because it is instantaneous. But again and again when he is practicing, so this experience may become longer. Say now he can experience this independence for 1 minute. So this experience one can maintain for 2 minutes. 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So likewise, so the mind become independent, not attached to anything, not holding, grasping anything, and it is free. So this freedom may be available for 15 minutes. So this is a kind of a domain change happened within your mind. So it's a very, I mean, you may distinctly recognize it, vividly recognize that there's a big shift has happened within the mind. So the walking happens, but mind is not closely attached to anything, closely observing even that, but mind likes to stay independent, sort of in a seclusion. And the eating, drinking, walking, brushing teeth, all these activities are happening. If necessary, you can actually observe them closely, but mind is not that interested. And if you start to observe closely, it appear like little tiresome, and mind likes to stay independent. Mind likes to maintain freedom, not attached to anything. Now this is where you may recognize that there are such possibilities available, such an island is available within yourself. So this island is free from defilements. This island is free from stress. This island is free from any kind of an attachment. And it is fairly cool and free from any grasping. So you feel peace. So this peaceful island, this mindfulness, this awareness, you may recognize. But unfortunately, you may understand, so still there are so many defilements again and again popping up and disturbing you. Now you need to have a proper path to maintain or to practice so that the mind become completely free, mind become completely pure, so that you may possess this peace, you may have this peace continuously. So that is where the Noble Eightfold Path come into the picture, where you need fair amount of morality to maintain, you need fair amount of concentration so that your mind is properly visible, it is apparent that you can recognize immediately whenever a defilement arises, so that kind of clarity of mind is available. So in order to have that, you need time to time empower yourself, empower the mind with a necessary amount of concentration. And while such clarity of mind is available, you are able to look at yourself, you are able to understand how foolishly you are going and again attaching with something, how again habitually you go and entangle with many things, how unnecessarily you are putting your hand. So many shortcomings of ourselves are able to recognize. In order to do that, you have to be fairly honest and well grounded, and now you are honestly recognizing those defilements, honestly recognizing those, say, shortcomings available within ourselves. And once we are recognizing, so that indicates that we are not approving it, we are not empowering it, we are not getting feeding it. Rather, we recognize it and leave it aside, let it go. We recognize that shortcoming, understood it, and not empowering it, not feeding it, not getting caught to it, but leaving it aside. So likewise, you are able to slowly decrease those habits, decrease those latent tendencies. So likewise, you may sort of start living a life fairly engage with proper morality, sila, and again maintaining fair amount of clarity, that is the concentration, samadhi, and more recognizing the recognizing various defilements, shortcomings, entanglements happening in the mind because of the past habits, and now trying to slowly correcting yourself, correcting your mind or purifying the mind so that you may have long-term peace, long-term disenchantment or long-term clarity of mind, freedom of mind is available. So they are the Noble Eightfold Path one has to live. So with that, actually I can conclude today's Sutta teaching. So today actually we have covered the Sampajanya Pabba, where we started with typical mundane activities and then slowly went to the depth understanding subtle aspects of each activity, and then recognize beginning and ending or starting and ending of those subtle activities. And then while maintaining such clarity, you are able to experience various insights, and that ultimately lead to the following of Noble Eightfold Path. So with that, I conclude today's sutta teaching, and now I open the session for questions.
So for you may ask your questions by sending it to me anonymously via the chat, or you may raise your hand and ask your questions directly. And Bhante, I haven't received any questions yet. Oh, there's a first hand raised.
Yeah.
Is that me? Will you please unmute yourself?
Yes, thank you. Bhante, now you described how we have to do these daily activities and observe them and then go into deeper levels.
Yeah.
Now, can we as lay people go into work and family life and all, can we go into all those dips? Unlike in the monastery where people are totally dedicated to those duties, can we actually do those finer details, you know, going into the details, becoming totally peaceful? Is that possible?
No, I think typical daily activities, you can at least be mindful that I am now writing a letter, I am now, say, typing on a computer, I am talking with someone. To such extent, you can be mindful. But later, once you come back home, when you are doing the formal practice, you can go deeper. Actually, this is a kind of a sort of practical aspect you have to see. I mean, say for example, while talking, if you are trying to too much go deeper, then you can actually, you may lose that macro aspect, the big picture, you may lost. So therefore, I mean, you have to maintain some sort of a balance, especially when you are dealing with the daily activities. But when you do the formal practice, there you can, because you have by doing that, you are maintaining the continuous mindfulness anyway. But only problem is that you don't have deep, clear comprehension. But continuous mindfulness was there. But now when you come back home and involved with the formal practice, there you can improve clear comprehension as well. You can drill down and understand the mind aspects as well.
So that is, Bhante, that is when we sit down to meditate, right?
Yeah.
That's the time that we are doing the formal practice.
Yes.
And then we can observe the finer breaking up or whatever, you know, to break it up into finer
yes.
points. Right?
Yes, yes.
So it is not that simple,
okay? Yes, that's why I mean we need fair amount of practice in order to recognize that deep sort of subtle aspects. So we may start with the surface level simply by establishing mindfulness in the present moment, and once that is successful, then we should clearly know what are the minor aspects available in this phenomena. Say for example, if I take breathing, say for example. Now, first of all, say you need to be aware of, okay, this body is now breathing in, now breathing out, now breathing in, breathing out. So likewise, when you do it, say 15 minutes, then now mind is fairly established in the breathing. And once it is successful, now you have to further refine your attention and needs to understand, okay, is the breathing in happens from left nostril or right nostril? Is the breathing out happens using left nostril or out nostril? Is breathing in long or short? Is breathing out long or short? Or is breathing in cool or warm? So likewise, we are now sort of trying to recognize fine aspects of breathing. So likewise, we need to sort of incorporate this investigative attitude with some curiosity. Now you are investigating the present moment phenomenon. So that we need to purposely do. And again, we need to maintain proper balance. I mean, if you do too strictly, then again mind can become restless. And if you are not doing it, you are not allowing the wisdom to grow. So likewise, you have to balance the faculties so that you can recognize finer aspects available in that phenomena and again maintaining the necessary amount of effort, and you are able to understand those details.
Yes, Mandy, now when I meditate, I go into very peaceful states, and I think that's what you're talking about. When we are developing these things in daily activities, we go into a peaceful state, you say, which we are trying to maintain all the time, which we can't, of course, in daily life, because we are in the lay life and we have various other activities coming up to stir us up.
Mm-hmm.
But certain the meditative activities, I'm getting better and better, I think, and I get into very peaceful states, which I find very, as if I'm sometimes watching, like the way you said.
Yes.
But now it is as if we have to now try to incorporate this more and more into daily life and could try to continue that momentum. Isn't
exactly.
that right? Bhakti?
That's right. That's correct. So as you said, you might not be able to maintain such the very precise clarity as you have in your formal practice. But at least you are not lost in the present moment. So
no.
that is the important thing. Say we are typically, while you are engaged with some activity, our mind is with some other place or some with someone else. But rather, our mind, the mental process also has to be well synchronized with the present activity. So that is, at least that should be, at least that we should try.
Yes. We can do, as you say, if we are all the time on the job.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Say while you are driving. So you should be aware of that you are driving, and you should know that there are vehicles in the front and you have to look at the side mirrors and all these things. And so that indicates that the present moment activity and your mind is well synchronized.
And that is a part of the training that you always talk about, this training, no, Bhante?
Yes.
The previous one you were talking about the training.
Yes.
Because now we are... The majority of these people who are listening to you, we are all on this training field.
That's right.
We won't hear now, Bhante?
Definitely. That's right. I mean, because otherwise, our mind habitually does not like it. Our mind habitually like to stay in the past and think about various things happened and daydream about the future and fantasizing. So that is what mind typically may like. So you have to restrain the mind, have to train the mind. Otherwise, it may not happen. Yes. And on the other hand, I like to add another word. Now, you have mentioned that you are experiencing very sort of beautiful or blissful states while in meditation.
Yes.
Now, thing is, I mean, that those are also useful, but in the vipassana practice, and that continuous observation, close examination is important.
Mm.
At that time,
yes.
At the first stages, you might not feel it is comfortable. You might not feel it is blissful as before, because you have something to do. But later, as wisdom is growing, there you may find a happiness.
Yes, Bhante, I do, because when I after getting to a peaceful state, I switch to vipassana.
Yeah.
And then I watch this Tivima, Nativima, Udevaya, and then there are times when there is a lot of waves of happiness come when I'm observing this. So I think that I'm doing the correct thing, Bhante.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even that, say for example, arising and passing away, when you are seeing it, there could be sort of happiness arise. So there's a very beautiful verse available in Dhammapada. Buddha says, Amanusi rati hoti passato udayabhyam. Kind of a unworldly happiness is possible when one is observing arising and passing away. So at the beginning, it appear like very dry and sort of it's everything is impermanent, everything is bursting, destructing, all these things. But when you understand it is just a process, there is no person here. It's a sort of a cause and effect relationship. Likewise, when you are sort of maturing yourself, when you are sort of improving your wisdom aspect, then understanding it gives you a lot of happiness.
Yes, Bhante, and also I don't know whether I am inferring correctly, but even when these waves of happiness come, as if you can feel the particles,
Right.
so
Yeah.
that it is like it is not just dry or it is not just plain. I can feel it like in the feet and the legs and all, like little particles. So
Exactly.
that is what we are trying to understand about it,
That's right.
the trying to break it up into smaller and smaller particles, or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah. So that basically, even those waves you are observing as someone else's things, you are not attaching to them, but you understand how they come and go. How yeah. So that means
They
that
come and go, and they come in waves, Bhante.
yes. So I mean, many different ways are possible, and for you it may appear like a wave, and there's an appearance of wave and then disappearance, again appearance, again disappearance. So you more and more you look at it like that, so you are in the Vipassana track actually.
Because it is also happiness for me. I don't know,
Yes,
I'm
yes,
asking
yes.
that, but that is okay, no?
Definitely, definitely. That's what I am telling. Now, all these activities, when we are properly looking at them, it produces some kind of an happiness. But for another person, now, for a typical person, say they are expecting to maintain this happiness, to have this happiness, to own this happiness, to have this for a long time. But here we are looking at it in a different angle. We understand how impermanent they are, how they are coming and going, and by looking at it, we become happy. So it's a different way of looking at, yeah.
I never, earlier I used to, many years ago, but I used to want to attach, but not anymore, Bhante. Now I'm very detached, and I'm just watching this. But of course, I certainly enjoy the happiness also. I can't say I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it, but but when it goes, it goes. That's
Yes,
it.
that's right, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, you are welcome.
Thank you. So the next question, I'd like to invite Joseph Siddiqui to please ask your question directly.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yep.
In my daily activities, so for example, today I was doing my work, and because the work, I'm used to it and I know what I'm doing, I can kind of do it on autopilot. And then I find myself just sort of observing the thoughts that are coming and going through my mind because I focus on the work that I have to do. But as the work is kind of being done automatically, the mind wanders off. For example, I found myself telling stories, getting involved with stories I created about family, who did this, who did that, and replaying the same story again. But I would kind of catch myself and realize that this was coming from ill will, a kind of a hatred, a kind of like a negative. It was a negative thing. And when I realized that, when I kind of labeled it and I noted it as ill will, I found that then my mind was clear and it ended. And I had a sort of a peace, and I went back to my work. I concentrated on my work. And a little while later, I found myself thinking again, maybe of something else. And I would get wrapped up in it, thinking about it, and then I would catch myself thinking, and would say, this is coming from a kind of a desire, like I want something. It's a kind of a greed. And when I realized that, or noted it, or labeled it as greed, I was kind of free from it. It kind of ended, like the thought pattern or the momentum of the thought pattern, the story kind of, I just dissipated, and I found a sort of relief, a kind of a space in my mind, and then I was able to just go back to concentrating on my work. The whole time, my body was just doing the work. There was no break in the work itself, but I found I was sort of going through this mental process of, you know, wandering into thoughts, catching the thinking, labeling it as coming from, you know, greed or ill will or desire, and then that labeling would kind of dissipate the thoughts, and there would be a sort of a peace, and then I would go back to my work. And so I just wanted to sort of ask if that, you know, do you have any suggestions? What would be your comments on that? Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, actually, this is something necessary, because even though we start with Kayanupassana, paying attention to various activities and whatever we already have discussed, slowly our mindfulness will expand to the mind. So there we start to look at the mind as well. So while we engage with various activities, in the first instance, we are trying to be mindful about it. So rather than allowing the mind to distract and go for various other fantasizing, the mind is well engaged with the present activity. So that is the first step. That is what we discussed today. But later, as we improve, so automatically we start to look at the mind as well. So this is what has happened to you. Where now the activities are also happening. At the same time, we have a separate thread running, watching the mind. So am I doing it properly? Am I maintaining the pleasant mind? Or am I getting angry while this discussion? Am I getting distracted? Or am I getting frustrated? Or am I getting angry? Likewise, so you have a separate monitoring process happening where you are observing the mind. So this is where actually most important. I mean, it is not that we are sort of neglecting the activity. We are doing the activity as well. But at the same time, we recognize the mind also. So there, if we understand that there's a defilement arising in the mind, immediately we can correct it. Immediately we can understand, okay, there's a greed arising, there's a sort of a resentment arising. And as you have mentioned, so there's a kind of a resistance arising in the mind. When someone, say, not obeying you or not respecting you, there's a kind of resistance arising within ourselves. So that we honestly understand, okay, there's a resistance, there's a kind of a resentment. So once we understand that, then slowly we can leave it aside, slowly we can let it go. So likewise, it is quite important to recognize all these shortcomings, all these defilements. And Buddha very clearly mentioned, without knowing, without seeing these defilements, one can never purify oneself. So knowing and seeing these defilements is extremely important. And this is where actually we are spearheading. Even though we start with the body, slowly we are moving towards the mind, where we are more and more aware of the various mental states, aware of various defilements. And once we are aware of them, we are not getting caught up with them. We are not feeding them. Rather, we are able to step back and look at those defilements and allow them to pass away. We are not getting entangled with them. Rather, we understand they are coming and they too going. All these lustful thoughts, they come and they go. These resistance that arise and then that too fade away. Sort of an anger that also arise and then it will go away. So likewise, so this mental process or the observing of mind also is a part of the practice, and you are doing well.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. So the next question, I'd like to invite Mahisha to please ask your question directly.
Thank you. My question is actually related to the advice that I have received from Bhante previously. And then I observed what you said. And then I like to give a feedback on what I experienced thereafter. So I'll tell a little bit about what I got the advice before, so that continuous thing, that's easy to understand what's happening. So my previous situation was when I go to meditate in the sitting posture, so quickly I start with the Anapanasati, and then quickly get on to that sleeping kind of a mode, like where I feel like emptiness and then darkness, and I feel that I'm not getting any thoughts into my mind. And so that was happening for a long time, and then it breaks up time to time, and then I come back, and then I feel like, oh, I need to get back to my vipassana again. So I start, and then again I go back to that darkness spot where nothing is there, and keep on going backward and forward. I do the whole time, and then I feel like that's the end of the session. So it's almost like I practice 1 hour, 60 minutes. So 60 minutes comes up and the alarm goes. So that's the situation. So that's the situation I explained before and asked for advice. And Bhante told me to keep going. And also then with the Dhamma talks last few weeks, I heard that we need to let little bit that samadhi position to, you know, loosen it a little bit to get the thoughts in. So, and then test how you feel about it, or things like that. So I actually tried doing that in the past few days. So when I get into that emptiness, I just stay like that, and I just keep watching. And then now what's happening is thoughts comes, you know, they comes, and like doing peekaboo, you know, it comes, appear, and then, you know, showing it up, and then goes away.
Right.
So it keeps doing that for the whole time.
Yeah.
So that rather staying a lot of time in the darkness, it emptiness, now I'm getting back quite often. I can't actually know how much time I spend in the darkness, and then those little thoughts comes and, you know, do appear and then disappear. So when those thoughts comes, I see them, I notice them, and then I realize, oh my God, some of them I feel like they are from very, very big, I mean, long time ago once.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah.
And some thoughts are actually happened like a while ago. Things like that. Oh, yesterday actually I got a couple of thoughts that during Dhamma talk, what I heard as the instructions, like some of the Dhamma came to my mind, and then I felt like laughing feeling that, oh, I'm getting those as well now.
Yeah.
And then it's disappeared.
Yes.
So my question is here, that's the situation previously and then now. So my question is it am I on the right path, and what shall I do next?
Yeah, actually, you are in the right path, because this is how we need to allow mind to operate, and we can laugh at ourselves. We can smile at ourselves, because this is how we are recognizing how mind is operating, what are the tendencies our mind is having, what kind of traits we are having. So more and more we recognize them, then we can avoid feeding them. We are not strengthening them. Rather, we allow them to pop up, we allow them to arise, and then since we are observing without sort of being caught to them, then simply they will fade away. So once you are engaged with this sort of a practice for some time, then the strength of these thoughts become less and less. So they become really weak, and you can even recognize them at their very early stages. So they may not grow to higher levels as before. Rather, they may end up in the very early stages. Then more and more your mind become calm, peace and quiet. So that will soon happen. So that kind of clarity of mind, that kind of a peaceful mind is fairly lasting and fairly matured, rather than you are having a kind of a peaceful mind just using the concentration. So that concentrated peace is fairly limited. And once the concentration loosens, immediately you may again end up with so much of distractions. But here, you are maintaining some amount of concentration just in order to see these thoughts clearly, and you are seeing how they come and go, how they behave, and you are not feeding them, and then slowly they will become weaker and weaker, and ultimately you are having a more peaceful mind, more clear mind. So it may take time. Yeah. It's a matter of sort of engage with the practice for some time.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. And can I ask another little question about my walking meditation? Is it okay?
Yes, yes.
Now, actually, I was doing less walking meditation before, but I started doing now under the guidance of Lokasamin Mahanse and Bhante.
Yeah.
So now today I realized when I'm doing it, I choose the grass lawn for that. So it's having like thorny feelings and all those things anyway.
Yeah.
And I did it some time, and then I feel like I need to close my eyes. So I try to, because the path is so familiar to me. So when I keep closing my eyes, I feel really it's much better. And I feel like I'm getting like kind of vipassana towards vipassana as well.
Yes.
Like I get all sorts of sensations then on the feet and the bit below the knee part of the legs. And I just thought asking whether it's okay to do like that, or just as per the instructions, we keep the sight level two meters away from the feet.
Yeah,
thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, actually, you can do that. And on the other hand, you can do the same thing as you do in sitting. Because it seems like while sitting, you are now, at the first instance, you may be improving the, say, mindfulness and concentration to the necessary amount. And then you are loosening that concentration and allowing the mind to play and watching it. So if you can do the same thing in walking, so that is also another way of doing. That in the sense, you are not now paying attention to the various sensations on your foot. Rather, you allow the mind to play and watching it. So that is also possible.
Okay, thank you very much,
yeah.
Bhante.
You can try both. Because ultimately the whole process, whole life become very much like observing the mind and sometimes refining the, say, mindfulness and concentration. And mostly it's watching the mind and correcting ourselves.
And also now, while I was listening to the previous gentleman who raised the question and then the answer that Bhante was giving, I actually can put myself to autopilot mode with and feel the sensations and then switch again and listen to the talk and switch back again and back and forward like that. So it's like, I feel like, oh my God, I think I'm like playing around with this technique.
Yeah.
So is it okay?
Yeah,
and
thing is
laughing at me, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah, the thing is actually we have to honestly look at the mind, and we can clearly see how these various thoughts are coming and going, and if that is possible, actually no problem. And actually the autopilot mode, in the sense that typically, say in the previous time or before we start our practice, say the autopilot mode is that, say while walking, I am thinking something, what I am going to do after going to the office. Say how I am dealing with my boss or whatever it is. Now that is where we go to the autopilot mode. We are completely, we lost the present moment awareness and we are in a different world. So that is in a way wrong, or we are being very unmindful. But rather here we may be talking with someone, we have some amount of understanding and the awareness of that process, but at the same time we have a little awareness of the mind as well. We are observing the mind as well, how our mind is reacting while this process.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Teruvan Sarnai.
For the next question, shouldn't there be a fair amount of nekama spelled N-E-K-K-H-A-M-M-A, for mindfulness to be effective. Without nekama, also we can maintain mindfulness, but maybe we are so dependent on company security from the familiar settings. How can we, or should we, get away from familiar grounds?
Nekama. So shouldn't there be a fair amount of nekama for mindfulness to be effective? Actually, nekama may arouse as you continue your practice. Because you may start with mindfulness. Suppose someone has given a lecture, someone has preached Dhamma, or you might have learned it from a course or whatever it is. And now suppose you are slowly practicing it. So as you practice, so those other qualities may have a better chance of, a fair chance of arising. So if you have an attitude of nekkhamma, that is good. But, I mean, in order to start the practice, that is not a must. I mean, you can start the practice, you can start developing mindfulness, and as you are improving, various other qualities start to appear, start to help. So that is what actually well explained in the Sati Sampajanya Sutta. Maybe I'll take that after this session, or rather, I mean, after this sutta, we can discuss Sati Sampajanya Sutta as well, where Buddha says, one is starting with mindfulness and clear comprehension, and as one is improving, then the say various other qualities come in our way, or other qualities start to help in the process. They start to appear. So therefore, I mean, if one is already having sort of attitude of nekkhamma, that is also good. But on the other hand, you can immediately start practicing mindfulness, and later the other qualities are also have the possibility of arising. So both are possible. Both are possible.
Thanks, Sante. And the next question, I'd like to invite Sonali to please unmute your microphone.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante. I have a question about the daily practice that you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And you mentioned getting up from the bed, and then that action is done, and then walking, and then that action is done, and then washing your face, kind of a thing. And I'm just wondering, I've been trying to do that, but there are so many stimuli that come at you at the same time. For instance, when you're walking to the bathroom in the morning, you get the feeling of the coldness of the floor, you feel the water, you feel the brushing of the teeth and the brightness of the light, and all of those things. And I'm just wondering whether you should note all of those things or just think of the feeling of the brush on your teeth, or if you can explain that a little bit, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, you may understand now there are so many things to note, and if you are sort of start to label them and start to verbalize them, it is difficult because so many things are there to verbalize and it is tiresome. But rather you can maintain a very quiet mind, silent mind, while feeling all these things. Say you are lifting your leg and you are moving, you can feel the texture of the floor, and you are opening the door, and all these are happening in a very silent mood with complete mindfulness. Under the sort of light of mindfulness, you are doing all these things. Complete awareness is there, so you are utterly in the present moment. And now thing is, now the same thing happened in our formal practice, where you are say be mindful of breathing, but there you have sort of higher concentration in order to penetrate breathing. Now you are going beyond breathing, and you now can understand various characteristics of the breathing. Say whether it is cool, whether it is cold, sorry, whether it is warm, whether it is long, whether it is short. So likewise, you have the facility to further drill down, further facility to further refine this recognition. But in the daily activities, we don't have that much of facility, because one after the other we have to go through various activities. So to maintain some amount of clarity is enough, because I mean we can't immediately meditate at that level, because we have to go to the other activity. One activity has finished and we have to go to the other activity. But at least we can maintain a very peaceful mind, quiet mind, and we are utterly in the present moment and fully know what is happening. We haven't lost the present moment, but rather we mindfully and equanimously we are observing. We haven't lost the balance as well. Now, if you become so impatient, if you become sort of frustrated, then that indicates that we have lost the balance. But on the other hand, if we are able to very quietly and at the same time in a very maintaining while a very pleasant mind, at the same time we are mindful of the present moment, present activity, then that much of that kind of a balance would be much better.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sadhu.
Hey, Bhante, I believe this is the last question. So, dear Bhante, during a at-home retreat, after my sitting, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I turned off the lights. And I can continue to see flashing dots just going on and off, on and off. Bhante, is this still practicing the Kaya Nupassana? Please help me understand. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, we can't immediately say whether this is Kaya Nupassana or Vedana Nupassana or Chitta Nupassana. Basically, I mean, as we improve, and as you understand using the body that how impermanent, how transient it is, and you may understand it is constantly this coming up and going away, rising and passing away. And when you are applying it to the same thing outside, so the outside physical phenomena also you may understand, it's also rising and passing away. It's kind of bursting. So we can say it is also physical, and therefore we can say it is Kaya Nupassana. But it is important that the label is not the important thing, but to the understanding that now not only the internal phenomena, but even the outside phenomena, now you can understand how transient they are. So if you have this understanding, it is well and good.
So continuing on that question, Bhante, so when we notice this, do we just continue to watch this, arising and passing away?
Yes. So just maintain a very balanced mind. So, and allow that wisdom to arise. So you have a very quiet mind, peaceful mind. At the same time, that picture, the outside physical phenomena are teaching you, and allow them to teach you. Allow them to teach how transient they are. So they are constantly showing you this transient nature, and we are while maintaining a neutral attitude, we are observing it. So actually, while we do it more and more time, kind of a deeper understanding is being sort of planted within ourselves. It is not that we are trying to learn from a book or ask from someone, but we directly experiencing it now. It is not that you have sort of someone's borrowed knowledge, but rather you are now directly experience this impermanence. So this is so powerful, and we need to allow it to further mature in ourselves, further grow in ourselves.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sadhu. That is all of the questions for today.
Yeah, sure. So thank you very much.
Okay, sorry, Bhante, can I just quickly ask something?
Uh-huh.
It is one of the, somebody mentioned nekamma, and my understanding is giving up, clinging and craving and karma and so forth. Is that a correct concept?
No, actually, there's a broader meaning to nekamma, like say you are renunciating your lay life and becoming a monk and all these things as well. But on the other hand, as you mentioned, there's a level of nekamma where, say, as your insight knowledge is growing, say your mind simply giving up the already available attachments, graspings, and mind becomes free. So both aspects are there. So therefore, I mean, that's why I mentioned when you are engaged with the practice, so the sort of a nekkhamma attitude is growing in oneself. And the, in vipassana also it is available. And it is not that always that one has to completely leave the lay life and become a monk to practice. Rather, you can practice while being lay people. At the same time, the necessary qualities may slowly grow in your mind. So that's what I wanted to tell.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you. That's what I understood. Because we all can't become monastics, so we have to do it at our level. Bhante?
Yes, yes.
Yes, thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay, I see one more hand raised. Do we have time for one more?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Dipti, can you unmute yourself?
Aksarai Bhante, I also felt, just now, like, you know, I heard about you talking about nekkhamma and all that, and I when I have company, for example, when I went to my sister's place yesterday with my children, and then they were sort of, you know, talking not very important things, unnecessary talks, and I felt it was very uncomfortable, and I wasn't like that before. I always, like, you know, very talkative, and I enjoyed those conversations, but I felt I was quite uncomfortable, and I couldn't stand all that. I don't know what's happening to me. Is it okay, you know, one day, or is it normal?
Yeah, it's normal. Yeah, it is normal, because now our mind has shifted from that mundane enjoyment, and now mind is searching for something important or something profound. So that actually that will happen in our own life, where typically we start with say having company with so many people, have so many friends and etc. And while you are dealing with improving your mindfulness, slowly you may recognize some deeper happiness by being alone.
That's so, right. Yeah. I could be myself even when everyone was around me. I mean, I was just like that island. But even being in that island, I felt uncomfortable.
So there seems to be a sort of a resistance, because you want to be completely secluded since the others are not allowing that.
I knew I shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I couldn't entertain. I mean, I was not part of it.
Yes, but these things will settle. I mean, at the beginning, this kind of unbalance can happen in the mind, but slowly you may sort of include that as well. So you can maintain kind of balance attitude even in a difficult situation, because I mean, it is not always possible for us to be secluded and be alone, but sometimes we have to deal with others, have to move with others, and even to move with difficult people. And while doing that also, if you can observe your mind, so that is where we are learning from that.
Yeah, and the other thing, Bhante, I always, now, I mean, not before, I get into trouble by trying to point out, you know, the silly things other people do, especially in my household. I can see sometimes when my children do things, oh, this is not right. So I just try to point it out, and they get annoyed.
Yeah, so this is actually, now there are, I mean, as we become more, I mean, aware of our mind, and we become more conscious, so the faults of ourselves as well as the others' faults are become evident. So then, I mean, we have to maintain in this situation sort of a forgiving attitude, because we had all these difficult, or
yes,
we had all these defilements, but we never noticed them. But now we notice them. So as a result, I get angry about myself. How many defilements I still have, how many shortcomings I have. So you can be angry to yourself. And on the other hand, you can be angry to others because they also have so many shortcomings. Now the problem is, now the shortcomings are evident to you. Now previously those were there, but you neglected them. You are not aware of them. But now, because of the improved sensitivity of the mind, so you are being aware of so many, even minor shortcomings, and they appear like very big ones.
So basically
maintain kind of a forgiving attitude, because I mean, this is where we were, and now the other people are also still in the same place, and we were also in the same place some time back. But now, because of...
I remember I was doing the same thing. Was like that before, but now I can see, okay, no, this is not right.
Yeah, that's right. So, we are correcting ourselves. At the same time, we have an attitude of forgiving in ourselves. So, we have to sympathize onto the others.
Okay, thank you very much,
Vande.
Now I do understand.
Teruvan Sannai. Okay, I think now we have spent around 1.5 hours in this session. So thank you very much for active participation, and we'll share the merits. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkantu mam param. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.